The following program is brought to you by Winthrop University Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz and Dr. Philippa Cheatham, where you can get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz and Dr. Cheatham, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, the chairman of urology at Winthrop University Hospital in New York, with co-host Philippa Cheatham, attending in urology at Winthrop University Hospital, here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to another live round of Katz's Corner here on WABC Radio in New York. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Katz, and we are live on kind of a muggy Labor Day weekend. Good morning, Mike. We have a wonderful guest in the studio. We're going to get to him in just a moment. But if you have a question about your health under your belt, give me a call at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Good morning, everyone. So glad that you could join us this morning. We have a guest in the studio. Dr. Philippa Cheatham is away visiting her family back home in England somewhere. She's probably tuning in. Good morning, Philippa. Or good afternoon out there somewhere. I want to remind everyone that we are running a prostate screening program out on Long Island. That'll be next Sunday, September 8th. We're already in September. Amazing. Summer is almost gone. September 8th, it'll be at the Sears Auto Center parking lot on Route 106, 107 in Hicksville from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., sponsored by Winthrop University Hospital Department of Urology. We'll be providing free PSA testing. We'll be out there. It's part of a much larger car show event called the Long Island Cruisin' for a Cure. So we hope to see you all out there. And also another reminder that we are continuing our prostate cancer education series every Wednesday. The second Wednesday, I'm sorry, not every Wednesday. Hello. Not every Wednesday, but the second Wednesday of every month from 6:30 to 7:30. And this month's speaker will be yours truly, Dr. Aaron Katz. September 11th. I'll be speaking about minimally invasive treatment options for prostate cancer. You do need to sign up. You can either call, that's 516-663-2316, or you can sign up on email at prostatecancersupport@winthrop.org. It is a free event, of course, and it'll be an educational series, and we'll go over some of the newer treatments some of the things that we're doing to evaluate men with early-stage prostate cancer. Our wonderful guest in the studio is a new face at Winthrop University Department of Urology, Dr. Jeff Schiff. Dr. Schiff joins us. He did his medical education at Tufts and then did his residency at Downstate. And was running adult urology at Downstate for a few years and then decided to collect his passport and come over the bridge and join us at Winthrop. So good morning, Jeff. So glad you could be here.
Good morning, Dr. Katz. Thanks for having me. Also, I need to take this opportunity to say hello to my wife, parents, kids, all new listeners.
You got all the Schiff clan listening?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's excited for this.
Okay, Jeff. Is it Jeff or Jeffrey?
So when you're going with the last name with the Schiff, you have to go Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, right.
But after that, it doesn't matter.
Jeffrey, yeah. Although Jeffrey sounds kind of formal, kind of like, you know, your mother would say, Jeffrey, get in the house now. Does your wife call you Jeffrey if she's mad at you? Is it a Jeffrey?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right. Okay, Jeffrey Schiff. So how's it been going at Winthrop so far? You've been with us about a month, you were at Downstate, a different, I guess maybe a different environment. What are your thoughts so far about coming on?
Yeah, a month in, I couldn't be happier. I mean, it's a great, it's very exciting what's going on at Winthrop Urology. It's a new, seemingly a new venture bringing you on over a year ago. You know, it takes a big time chairman to start a big department, and you've done that, and there's a big opportunity where we are, and the footwork has been laid, and it's just it's a great opportunity. Great.
And I know one of the things that we also wanted you to do when you came to Winthrop was to run the residency program. We started a new residency integrated with Stony Brook. And you've had experience with residents and teaching, right? I mean, you feel that's important in our program?
It's a great, it's an integral piece of medical education and delivering cut rate and, you know, first rate medical care is having the opportunity to work with residents, keep you on your toes, also provide that education to them. It's been a great opportunity.
Yeah. And, you know, you've been in urology, I guess, for, let's see, four, maybe six, 7 years now, managing patients over at Downstate with a variety of urological conditions. I'm sure that you've taken care of a fair share of your prostate patients there, prostate cancer there.
Yeah. Downstate is in central Brooklyn, which is a high African-American and Caribbean-American population, which is known to present with, have a higher incidence and advanced degree of prostate cancer. So we see some really advanced stages, which actually you don't really see in the PSA or the prostate cancer screening era. So it was a great opportunity to train there and stay on there as faculty. And now this new opportunity at Winthrop Urology.
Great. And what are your thoughts now about... you know, because I've been in the field, obviously, longer, you know, about 20 years. But, you know, what are your thoughts about PSA screening? I mean, now that you've seen a lot of these men, as you said, African-American men, for one, that come in with advanced prostate cancer, U.S. Task Force has put down PSA, AUA feels PSA is valuable, but only in a certain number of patients between that 55 and 70 years old. What do you think about that? You agree with that, or you think everybody should be screened?
No, I certainly agree with the – I think there it makes sense to have a little tightening of the age group there, I think, because you're sometimes identifying lower-risk cancer in these younger men, and you're subjecting them to curative treatment, which the side effects of which might be worse than the disease itself. So I think tightening in that age and really only treating those patients with the more advanced cancers makes sense. And unfortunately, I still think there are some patients who kind of slip through the cracks, and we certainly saw those patients in central Brooklyn that, despite the PSA screening era, present with a PSA of, you know, 5,000 or something like that, where you're just not – you're missing those cases for whatever reason.
Yeah. You know, there's an article this week in JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association, which talks about all of the screening that we've done for four very common cancers, you know, the breast, prostate, lung, and thyroid. And they go over the statistics from 1975 to the present and saying that, yes, we've screened all these. And the idea behind screening, as you mentioned, is to detect the cancer early, and hopefully we would see a decrease in the death rate. And in fact, you know, this is very, you know, interesting that there's been a 30%, Jeffrey, a 30%, stick with it, Jeffrey, 30% reduction in overall death rate of prostate cancer since 1975, from 1975 to 2010. I mean, I don't know why there's that much of a controversy about the PSA at this point. Maybe there should be the controversy about treatment, who should get treated and who should not.
Absolutely. I think that's the controversy.
Yeah.
Who needs to be treated.
So now when you see a patient at Winthrop, and it might be a different demographics than someone that you saw maybe in at Downstate, maybe somebody that is a little bit more, you know, following their PSA and they're diagnosed with prostate cancer, how are you going to what treatment options would you offer them? And do you believe in, you know, some of the things that we've talked about here, the active holistics? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Winthrop affords me these additional tests that are this Oncotype DX, a kind of genetic screening to see if these patients have truly aggressive cancer, something that we were talking about previously, the PCA3. Which is another blood test that's a little bit more specific to prostate cancer. And then we use additional imaging modalities like MRI to try and look for dominant tumors within the prostate and see if these patients are really good candidates for active surveillance. And I'm a strong proponent of active surveillance. That being said, those patients that meet certain criteria that I have in my mind are great candidates for everything. And I think we offer the full range of treatments, including robotics, which I personally do, as well as open surgery, and then cryo, which is your area of expertise, and radiation with Dr. Haas doing the latest in CyberKnife. So I think we have the full gamut, and actively, and importantly, the active holistic surveillance I'm a strong believer in too.
Great. And, you know, this past week we had a tumor conference there, and you presented an interesting case, not of prostate cancer, but of a kidney cancer case. You got an interest. You got a referral from an interested about an interesting case. Tell us briefly about that.
Yeah, he was a 63-year-old gentleman who had about a 2.5-centimeter kidney tumor, and who was
is that a big tumor or small?
Yeah, it's pretty small, actually.
Small
that's
tumor.
Right. So, yeah, we treat things over 2 centimeters in general, but that certainly on the smaller end of things. So this gentleman was treated with a freezing or a cryosurgery or cryoablation of the tumor about 5 years ago at an outside institution, and presented to me or came to me with a recurrence, meaning the tumor had come back in that kidney. And, you know, I just remember our initial consultation. He said, you know, I'm a fighter, Jeff. I want something done. I'm not going to just sit on this. Tell me whatever I need to do, I'll do. And just reviewing all of his images and trying to figure out what was going to be best for him was a very challenging case. And what's great about my opportunity here at Winthrop is we have these interdisciplinary conferences with medical oncology, radiation oncology, and all of our urologic attendings who kind of sit around a room and discuss these challenging cases and try and figure out what's going to be best for these patients and kind of reach a consensus because these patients are not straightforward by any means, and trying to figure out what everybody agrees would be best for these patients. So he could have had a partial removal of this tumor, a removal of the whole kidney, because this tumor is now refractory to this freezing procedure, or would he benefit from the freezing again and save this kidney? And you know, the good news for him is that the consensus was that you could certainly watch this lesion, this tumor, for a little while, but if you wanted to do some sort of intervention, a repeat freezing was a good option for this gentleman, which he was, you know, elated to hear about.
7:15 in the morning here on Cancer's Corner, WABC. If you have a question, we are live on this Labor Day weekend at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. In the studio is our new associate at Winthrop University Hospital Department of Urology, Dr. Jeffrey Schiff, who is now an attending urology and is also running the residency program in our department. We'll take your phone calls. I know that Adam has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Adam. You have a question for us.
Yes, sir. I mean, all my grandparents are dead, and all of them died of cancer. And I'm over 50 now, and I would like to ask you to talk about thoroughly what are the good preventions, talking about alcohol, eating, and sun, and whatever comes to your mind, what are the good preventions, you know, of cancer? Because I don't want to get treated. I would like to prevent it.
Okay. Very good question, Adam, and thank you for your phone call. I mean, certainly, I'll hear what Dr. Schiff has to say. I mean, someone like this who's 50, who does have a strong family history for a lot of cancers, we do have the screening program. I mean, colorectal cancer, I think that someone like this, Jeff, probably should have a colonoscopy. A PSA testing should be done. If he's a smoker, we do have at Winthrop a lung cancer screening program, which can be done and is now approved for those men at high risk that are at risk for lung cancer. A physical examination would be important, I think, a dermatological evaluation to check for skin lesions, skin cancers, melanomas, things like that. And then, of course, the diet. I mean, we believe in more of a plant-based diet, more antioxidants, more fruits and vegetables in the morning, raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, things like that, fruits in the morning, antioxidants, multivitamins, checking your vitamin D level, as that's been shown to also been associated with the lower the vitamin D, the higher the chance of cancer. Staying away from red meats, alcohol, red wine. We like the Pinot Noir. That seems to be having a high amount of resveratrol, which has been shown to be important for reducing cancers, as well as some of the herbal anti-inflammatory compounds that we recommended. Jeff, what do you think? Any other comments? If he came to you, just saying, listen, I'm just concerned about cancer in general, as many of us are.
Yeah, you really did cover all of it. But I think, as you said, being a 50-year-old gentleman, I think a colonoscopy is in order to look for colon cancers. That being said, I think just the routine, an annual physical with your primary care physician, We'll cover most of those things.
Yeah, staying away from smoking, and we in urology, obviously smoking is what, Jeff. When we think of tobacco use, we think of what cancer? I mean, that's very common.
Lung.
Yeah, lung, but also in urology.
Oh, bladder.
Bladder, right? And the question is, should we now have a label on the cigarettes that this may not only cause lung cancer but bladder cancer? You know, because you've probably seen a lot of cancer, bladder cancer, in your experience there at Downstate when you were training, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And certainly smoking is the biggest known risk factor for that. It's interesting that actually in African-American men there's a very low chance or low risk of bladder cancer, relatively speaking. But
oh, really? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Genetics, presumably, yeah.
So they have more, African Americans have more prostate but lower bladder cancer, even if they're smoking, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Yeah. And someone that comes in with bladder cancer, well, how would they typically present? You've seen in your experience?
Right, so we say the doctor word would be gross hematuria, but actually that just means blood in the urine. So if you see blood in your urine, that would be the most obvious sign. And then certainly we see these patients that have recurrent urinary tract infections or persistent irritative or voiding symptoms or urinary symptoms, and then we recommend that those patients have what's called a cystoscopy, where we take a look inside the bladder, which is really the best way to see what's going on inside there.
Yeah, and you've done quite a bit of those cystoscopies,
yes.
Right? Yeah, I mean, and that's changed quite a bit, you know, since I was training. It was much more of a painful procedure, but now at Winthrop we have these flexible scopes, and it doesn't take you long at all, right?
Minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
And we have the conferences that you've mentioned, and you feel that those are important. These collaborative conferences between pathologists, radiologists, and medical oncologists. And I couldn't agree more. I think that that's one of the really nice open discussions that we have here at the medical center. So if you come in and you have, your case will be discussed and reviewed by all of us, right? You know, obviously it's all confidential. You know, there's no names or anything there, but the case is discussed, and then we can freely, you know, give our thoughts and opinions about your particular case.
Yeah, and I think that's great, and I think that a lot of times as a patient, you feel like you're in a vacuum and you're at the whim of the doctor that you're seeing, and I think that having these interdisciplinary conferences really opens that up, and you have, you know, confidence and real understanding that your doctor's doing what's best for you here at Winthrop. So
yeah, and I think, you know, and I've talked about this before, you know, the relationship that we have now with our radiation oncologist, Dr. Jonathan Haas, who runs the CyberKnife program, you know, so it's really an open dialogue, and we're able to refer cases back and forth, and some are appropriate for what I do, active surveillance or minimally invasive cryo, or some are great cases for the CyberKnife. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll talk to Herman. I know you've been waiting from the Bronx. The Bronx, how are you? Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm 56 years old. My name is Herman, type 2 diabetes, and I bought creatine monohydrate because it helps refuel the body. But on the warning label, it says not to be used by pregnant women and diabetes.
What is the compound? I wasn't able to hear you, Herman. What are you concerned about?
I bought some creatine, and I'm type 2 diabetes, so it's not recommended that I take this ingredient, and I would like to know why.
What ingredient is it?
Creatine monohydrate.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Herman. Thanks for your phone call. I really wasn't able to hear him. Maybe the radio was on. But there has been a new study, though, Jeff, about metformin, a compound that many of the diabetics are taking and lowering the risk of prostate cancer. I don't know if you were aware of that. That had recently come out in one of the new conferences on early stage prostate cancer by a guy named Dr. Fleschner up in Canada, following his patients on surveillance, and showed that actually the men on metformin actually had lower death rates from prostate cancer. I'm not so sure the relationship or why, but
that sounds like good news given the amount of men on metformin for their type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, so I mean,
an added benefit.
And the other thing that, the other reason that I brought you on to Winthrop, but not only that you're a great guy, you're a great doctor, great training, AOA at Tufts Medical School, obviously a smart guy, was that you have a lot of experience treating men with erectile dysfunction, right? And sure. And tell us about that, because you're starting to see more and more of these men that are not responding or not feeling that satisfied with the Viagra or the Cialis, and they want to take the next step, but they don't want to have the major operation of that implant. So you have a program, and tell us about that and what you're doing.
Sure. So I certainly run, it can be an intimate conversation, but to run through it, I think I give patients the comprehensive evaluation, offering again those pills. I think that what we do as doctors is give pills in general, and I think those patients that can benefit from those Viagra and Cialis, we often recommend that they try them on repeated occasions before giving up on them. But then once that fails, you go on to, I think of it in a stepwise fashion, and go on to what's called Muse, which is a suppository, a little pill that goes into the penis that can help bring on, it's a hormonal agent that can help bring on an erection. And then ultimately those patients who fail that or aren't into that can go on to have what's called injectable therapy. And that is, again, a hormonal agent that will help these gentlemen, and there's tremendous success with that, and it's something you could do at home and everything. So.
Now, a lot of guys are, you know, when you tell them you're going to have to inject something, I see Mike squirming back there, you know, inject something into the penis, you're like, wow, that I'm not going to do that. You know, that's not for me. Right. But yet it does give you a rather rapid response. I mean, you put this medicine in, it's a very, very tiny needle, almost like what diabetics use. And once you you train them in the office to do this, right. And what do you think the overall satisfaction is from that? Do patients like that?
Yeah, I think it's almost a guaranteed kind of thing to work. It's with a 30 gauge needle, which is, as you said, is like a diabetic type insulin administration type.
But by the way, the higher the needle size, 30. It's like, wow, that's a 30 gauge.
Right,
you kidding
right.
me? I'm putting that where. The higher the gauge, the smaller the needle. So it's a very, very,
very
tiny.
Very, very small needle.
Right. And you put it where? On the side of the penis.
The side of the penis, which is the important part of the training. Is
right.
Showing you where to put it so that you don't hurt yourself.
No, don't do that.
3 and 9 o'clock are kind of the preferred administration sites. You could do damage at 6 and 12. So we just need to teach you that. And the success, you know, you'll see the results there in the office, and it's amazing. It's great that it works, and these patients are very satisfied. They go on to use it at home, and there's great success stories, and patients stay on this stuff regularly.
And how long will the erection last?
About an hour to an hour and a half is the. There is some dosage.
Now we got a lot. I see the women are calling.
Right.
I see the call screen is a young girl. She's blushing back there.
Yeah, they're signing.
An hour and a half. What am I going to do with that?
Right.
You know, you'll be surprised. So guys, I mean, all of a sudden now you have a patient that, let's say, had radical surgery, right? Or is older, diabetic, or hasn't had an erection in a while. And it looks and feels like a normal erection, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's no parts or anything. It's just an injection.
It's the real deal, yeah.
It's the real deal.
Yeah, right.
Now, the question is, does insurance pay for it?
Sure. So that can be an issue, certainly, but the cost of this over the long term is not prohibitive. It's really quite reasonable.
Does Medicare pay for it?
Medicare does in general.
God bless America,
right,
huh?
Right,
look
right,
at that.
Right.
Wow, amazing. God bless. So Medicare pays for that. I wonder if they pay for birth control pills for women. I'm not so sure they do. But here we go. So this is a man's world, I guess. But so you have an active program, so we're doing that.
Yep.
By the way, if you want to see Dr. Schiff in consult, I love the guy. I think he's fantastic. You can call him at 516-535-1300, right? It's 1300 Franklin Avenue. But the phone number, again, I'm having a senior moment here, Jeff, is 516-535-1900.
Correct.
Right? 516-535-1900. We're at 1300 Franklin Avenue. Beautiful location in Garden City. Absolutely gorgeous. You can see Dr. Jeffrey Schiff, who is our new associate at Winthrop, who really is... you know, I guess, you know, incredibly trained, but also can offer a lot of different treatments for a wide variety of diseases.
Yeah, and I'll also urology. Be out at the L.I. Cruisin', as you were, the Long Island Cruisin' thing at the Sears Auto Mall in Hicksville.
Oh, good.
Next,
you're going to be there? Okay.
And we're doing a prostate cancer screening as well as showcasing the Da Vinci robot so we can show patients what that's all about.
We have time for one final question, so let's go ahead and put them on the line. Yeah, go ahead. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
Just one more question about therapy or whatever for erectile dysfunction. I hear an ad on the radio about something that goes under the tongue, sublingual. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. Jeff, do you know?
Sure. So that's, I think it's a great marketing ploy. So vardenafil, which is the active ingredient in Levitra, has been kind of reformulated into what's called Staxin. And Staxin is the brand name of the Levitra that is available for sublingual administration. We actually have it in the office in a demo pack, and I was showing the girls in the office that it comes in a little, like these new gum packets, where it's like a sleek little wrapper and everything, and that's exactly it. It's available for sublingual or beneath the tongue administration, and it has the same active component as those other pills.
I'll tell you, I tried the injectable thing, and it really works.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, is that right, Jim? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good.
Okay. Well, and you use it on a regular, you still use it? Because some people, you know, with that erection device thing, that the vacuum, I find that some people, they try it, it works, but then they don't, it's just too cumbersome.
No, the injectable is excellent.
Wow. Okay.
And
thanks.
As a matter of fact, the urologist that prescribed it years ago told me that he uses it with porn stars.
Okay. Probably true. Thanks for your phone call, Jim. So there you go. Jeff, that's very useful information. So you have this new thing that goes under the tongue. You have that in the office as a sample pack where people can come in and you can give it to them.
Sure.
They can try it at home. And,
absolutely.
Fantastic. Right. Very good. Any final thoughts there? I mean, you've really given us a lot of information. We're really excited to have you at Winthrop, and I know you're going to do great there.
Great. Happy to be on board, and thanks for having me on the show today.
Well, that's the music. We'll have you back again. You're a terrific guest with a lot of knowledge, terrific doctor, at 516-535-1900. Dr. Jeffrey Schiff at Winthrop University Hospital. We hope to see you all next Sunday, the Long Island Cruisin' event from 9 to 3. That'll be out in Hicksville at the Sears Auto Parking Center. And I will be giving a lecture September 11th at the Prostate Cancer Educational Series. Have a wonderful Labor Day. This is Dr. Aaron Katz.